Hey there, this is Julie from Blended Life. Thank you for taking the time to download this episode of our podcast. I hope you find value in it. The truth is, though, sometimes you need more than a podcast can offer to get unstuck and find peace in your blended family life. The struggle is real. So this is a personal journey I've been on for years, seeking peace in circumstances and with people I can't control. Becoming Heard was born out of this quest. As a certified life and health coach, I am passionate about helping others just like you and me free themselves from chronic upset and chronic crisis mode. Right now, I'm offering Blended Life listeners a one-on-one free breakthrough session with me. This call will give you clarity to see if coaching is right for you. Take advantage of this opportunity now by emailing me at becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I can't wait to connect with you.
Hey everyone, I'm Eric. This is my wife, Julie. We are The Blended Life.
Hey everyone. Today we're talking about cultivating emotional connection, why it's important, the biggest mistake people make around it, and what you can do to have it. Stay tuned. Enjoy.
Welcome back. Where are we getting started?
With you, my love.
Oh, great.
I know this is, so when I told you that we were going to talk about emotional connection.
Wait, you didn't say emotional connection. You said connection. You told me that 2 seconds ago.
No, I love that because I did say emotional connection. You just did. Chose not to hear the emotional part.
Yep.
In true man form. So that's where I want to start. I want to start with when guys think of emotional connection, what stirs up inside of you? Like, do you roll your eyes at it? Do you think it's stupid? Do you groan inside?
I hear the word emotional and I think of you.
Well, duh.
But it explains everything.
But I mean, like, for real, like, because what we're going to talk about is why emotional connection is important. And then we're going to talk about the biggest mistakes that people make when it comes to emotional connection. And then we're going to talk about how.
So are we talking about like husband, wife, man, woman? Or are we talking about children, stepchildren, like emotional connection with who? Like your pets?
No, I think in relationship, right? Because what I do know is that in blended families, one of the deepest desires people have in a blended family and blending their family is emotional connection.
Okay.
That is a desire that most people have going into a blended family, certainly in a marriage, obviously. But then beyond that, like when we are with our stepkids or you're marrying someone, you hope for emotional connection between your spouse. And so emotional connection is
a desire
thing.
Well, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head right there, as everyone hopes for it. And that's like the key. Everyone hopes for things. No one actually like goes forward and like works towards it. I shouldn't say no one, but like everyone hopes for things. But what are you doing to make that hope come true?
Yeah, right? Everybody wants something.
Yeah.
I talk to my clients a lot. I'm like, yeah, I want, like, we all want our spouse to want to do things.
Well, how about this? You know, here's the exact example. Everyone's like, oh, well, when I win the lottery, I'm like, well, do you play the lottery? No. Well, how are you going to hope for connection if you don't work towards connection?
Yeah. Okay. So for you, when you hear the term emotional connection, what comes to mind for you, for the male, like you're speaking on behalf of men, like, do you guys shy away from emotional connection? Do you think it's stupid? Do you think it's unreasonable? Do you think it's too much work? Like what? These are my biases towards men.
No, but I can't speak for everyone.
Well,
but
for
I'm
you.
Like, emotional connection, no. I mean, it's something that I think everyone needs. We're created for it, you know? So being able to have emotional connection, for me, might look different from you.
How does it look for you, maybe? Like, you feel emotionally connected different ways. Is that what you mean? than I might feel emotionally connected to someone.
Yeah, not always, but also, you know, circumstances. You know, what are your circumstances that day? What do you have going on in your home life, your work life? You know, I guess I emotionally connect in different ways at different times, depending on different circumstances.
So what is someone supposed to do with that?
Nothing. You're supposed to get to know one another and be able to navigate that with each other.
Mm.
You know, I mean, for instance, you know, let's go through titles, you know, husband, father, son,
friend,
business owner. You know what I mean? Like so on and so forth. Each one of those has its ups and downs and its roles. Each one of those has a different impact on your life every single day, you know, and someone like me having to navigate all those, sometimes I'm more emotionally involved or more emotionally disconnected depending on what's going on in what category, you know. So for me, you know, there's a lot of things playing into this.
Yeah. Do you have hopes to be emotionally connected to everyone in your family, or do you think it's okay not to have emotional connection with people in your family, whether it's like immediate family or?
I think that's relationship, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, yeah, you can hope for that, like that's the goal and that's the dream, but at the end of the day, you know, we only get out as much as we put in, and we can only receive as much as the other is willing to put out.
Yeah. No, I think that's such an important point to make because, you know, we are only one half of all relationships. And it's hard because I think we desire so much for ourselves, but we're not for everyone. No. We're not for everyone, not even everyone in our family. Like we're, you know, I got into a misunderstanding with someone on social media and
in our family.
No. Oh, okay. This is outside, but I'm just thinking about that. Like, my words aren't going to land for every person when I say them or put them out there, right? Like, my points, my point of view, my words, and I'm okay with that, right? I'm not for everyone. My words aren't going to land. But I also think, like, we need to extend that in our families, too. Like, we aren't going to be for everyone.
Well, I think people need to understand that, too. You know, people get so offended when someone takes you the wrong way or they don't agree with you or they don't align with you. And it's like, listen, people, like, that's why we are all different. If we all agreed and we all were status quo with one another,
yeah,
there'd be nothing interesting about anyone and anything, right?
We'd all be robots, like carbon copies of each other.
Right.
There'd be no need for marriage, probably.
No. Even. So it's funny because people become more and more offended as people don't agree with them. But it's like, that's not how we were created.
Yeah. And that leads me to something I coach on all the time is what breaks connection the most, whether that's any relationship, business relationships, marital relationships, parent-child relationships. Whenever you like judgment enters, connection's broken. And it's not just because the other person feels judged, but when you are judging someone, I think people don't understand that as much as you're breaking connection with them, you're also like, you're doing that for yourself. Like judgment of somebody else breaks connection towards them on your end.
Right.
And it's the number one cause of disconnection in relationships is judgment. And so I want to give up front before we go into why emotional connection is important and why we seek it is, you know, one of my number one pieces of relationship advice for any relationship, especially in marriage, but really any relationship. When you're a step parent, my number one relationship advice for you is to stay curious. Stay curious.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you can't be judgmental and genuinely curious at the same time. And so one of the ways to protect relationships from judgment, because we know that judgment breaks connection, is to remain, and that's a mindset. You know, that's more of a mindset than asking 1,000 questions, but it's really like, if I know judgment breaks connection and I want to have connection with this person for whatever reason, then how can I facilitate that within myself is just to remain curious, to not judge, to be open to understanding a different point of view, even if you don't agree with it. Okay. And to get to know somebody, right? We all want to be known. We want to be heard.
Yeah, but do we take the time to get to know other people and hear other people?
Well, that's part of the investment in relationships. Right. And that's one of the things that does create emotional connection. You know, when somebody takes the time to not assume and act, I don't care if you've been married 80 years, you don't know everything there is to know about that person.
Right.
You know, and I think remaining curious and asking questions and what do you like? What lights you up inside? What do you want in 5 years? There's always the next 5 years ahead, maybe until you're like 105. And then we go, what do you want in the next day? But you know what I'm saying? Like remaining curious, creating space for the other person to be able to be themselves and to show you who they are. I think that is really important.
Well, and their emotions will change through, you know, throughout the days and throughout time. And again, like I said at the beginning, through circumstances. So yeah, you might be 80 years old, think you know everything about your spouse, but they might be having a different day than you are on that day. There might be something affecting them differently that does on your day. And that's, you know, what it is in present family life, you know, in our normal day-to-day blended lives is that, you know, just because my kid was one way yesterday doesn't mean my kid's going to be one way today.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I think also remaining curious really just keeps you from being a fixer. You know, I think that we see people as something to fix. And I know in marriages, like how many times has a spouse said, I don't need you to fix it. I just want to listen. Like, just hear me. But I think we are, especially men and you're natural fixers. And so that might not be what the other person wants. And so I think remaining in a space of curiosity puts your energy there instead of putting your energy towards trying to fix it.
Have you ever told me that you don't want something fixed, you just want me to listen? No, you always want me to fix that.
I do.
Yeah.
But that's because I feel like I try to fix it. I want things to be fixed. I want to move forward. I want to be done with it. I think we're a lot alike that way. But it's like a common saying for in spouses, like, I don't need you to fix it.
It is.
Just listen.
Well, and I don't know if it's a common saying, but it's like a common, you know, just unknown or unsaid thing, I guess, if you will. You know, I think a lot of people wish for that and want that, and it doesn't actually get portrayed.
Well, they need to ask for it. Yeah. I think we all have to, at some point, get comfortable asking for what we want. Because we assume a lot. We assume the other person, I've done this, you've done this. We assume the other person should just know. Like, you should just know. Why don't you know? This is common sense. Right?
And then the ostrich with the head in the sand, right?
Yeah, and it's like, we'll just get comfortable asking for what you want. One of the things that helps you be comfortable asking for what you want is being emotionally connected to someone.
You're though. Really good at telling me what you don't want.
Do I? What don't
I? I don't know, just things.
I'm really good at telling you to stop doing something.
Yeah, like you. Yeah, like what you don't want. Like you really just like.
I think you don't hear the want afterwards, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I like, but it is after what I don't like. And I think you get so put off by what I don't like that you don't finish hearing.
Tones, people. Tones.
You don't finish hearing the other half of that.
What?
Exactly. All right. Why is emotional connection important? I wrote down some things. Well, I think, first of all, it binds people together. It binds and it bonds, right? When you feel an emotionally connected, there's a binding that happens there. Do you agree?
Agreed.
It helps people feel fulfilled in relationships. And this is really important because people who feel fulfilled in relationships aren't looking to leave them. And so I think this is why finding emotional connection is really important, because especially with your kids or your stepkids or really in business too, you want people to invest in you. You want to invest in them. It does create a sense of fulfillment. And when people are fulfilled, it's like what in that Legally Blonde, like happy wives don't murder their husbands. Remember that line in Legally Blonde? Did you ever watch
Legally Blonde
you
all
did,
the time?
You totally
I actually
did.
Have Legally you... Blonde quotes tatted across my lower back, you guys. So,
yeah, endorphins make people happy, and happy people just don't kill their husbands.
Dolphins definitely make people happy.
Okay, never mind. You know, emotional connection promotes trust in relationships. You trust people easily, more easily, when you're connected to them emotionally. And it also creates a sense of safety. When we talk about blending a family, I think emotional connection makes you feel blended. I think a lot of people don't feel blended because they're lacking that emotional connection. And I think why it takes 5 to 7 years for people to feel blended is because it takes time to build that emotional connection. You have to go through things. You have to earn trust. You have to show up consistent and weather some storms, especially when you're coming off the back of a broken relationship and everyone's living in this state of distrust, like especially kids. When they're entering a new family situation after their natural family has been split up, to expect kids to just easily trust is unreasonable.
Well, you think about it. Kids have never been, probably have never been through something like this before. So there's a little bit of trauma involved, and it didn't work out great the first time. So now kids are a little jaded when it comes to something like this, you know?
Yeah. And so emotional connection helps people feel blended. I think that is successful blending, is when you feel emotionally connected to people in your home. I think it's also important, the last thing I wrote down is it's easier to care, like to show care and show up for people that you feel emotionally connected to. And I think it's easier to feel cared for when it comes from somebody you're emotionally connected to. And then it's you're willing to invest then, you know. And I think care is a really important part of being in a blended family. We're caring for each other. We're looking out for each other's well-beings. And so that emotional connection makes it easier to do that. It makes it more natural to do that than just feeling like I have to, I want to. Anything else that you feel like is important about emotional connection that I missed?
How about people that are emotionally connected to their dogs
okay.
and animals? I'm serious.
And here we go.
Think of it. Like, why are people so emotionally connected to their dogs or their, like, pets?
I know this.
Why?
Because when I think of dogs mm-hmm. and our dogs, mm-hmm. I always think like dogs love you unconditionally,
well,
right? Like you could go out.
But like my thought on this was like your pets are always just there to listen. They just hang out. They're happy to see you. You know, they're like usually.
Well, dogs, let's not go into cats. Cats are a different story.
I don't know. I'm not so allergic to them. I don't have them. But anyways.
Dogs for sure, though, right? Like, They follow you around. They're just excited to, like, see you every moment.
They're excited
you walk
for life,
in.
Yeah, but they're stoked on you. So I think that if we started acting like dogs to one another, we'd have a lot better relationships.
You're not wrong. And there is a sense of unconditional love with dogs. Like, you could go out and murder someone, come home, they would love you just the same.
No, they'll help you clean it up.
But you know what I mean? Like, you, dog, yes. There is lessons there. Maybe that's why God gave us dogs, so that we could learn how to be better humans. Interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, this people take better care of their dogs than themselves. And
I
sometimes
know, I actually,
their children.
That's funny you say that. I actually just saw a really cute dog walking up, coming to the studio.
Yeah.
And then, like, looked over, like, whose dog is this? Because it's just roaming around, like we're in the village here, you know? Look over, and it's just a homeless lady with her dog. Like, the dog is doing way better than she is. Poor thing.
Yeah. It's interesting, though. I mean, what we will do for unconditional love, what we will sacrifice our own well-being sometimes for it, right? Yep. So then the biggest mistake people make when it comes to unconditional love. Do you have any thoughts on that? So what I think it is that it's twofold. I think the biggest mistake that people make when it comes to unconditional love, that's not even what I meant, emotional connection, is that we try to force it. We want it, so bad. We understand how important it is and how necessary it is for blended families to be thriving and successful. That emotional connection piece is vital, actually. And we try to force it.
Well, do we try to force it, or do we stomp in our feet and throw a tantrum when other people don't give it to us?
Well, we react when we don't get it, for sure.
Right. But are you putting forward, you know, the effort to connect at that point, or are you just upset because you're not receiving it?
Both. Yeah, and I think also there's a sense of entitlement that goes along that. You know, I think that when we blend our families and we sign the marriage certificate, now we're entitled to emotionally connect with everyone. And again, back to what we were just saying earlier, you're not for everyone. Like, it's super special and great when that happens with your stepkids, and it's super special and great when it happens even with your own kids. I know plenty of parents who don't connect well with their children, their own biological children. So I think it's the sense of entitlement when we start a blended family that we are entitled to emotionally connect with everyone. And if they don't emotionally connect with us, then they're bad or naughty or wrong, or yeah, you're hurt, right? I think, and then that turns into offense, but yeah. And can it be okay? Can blended families exist and do well without having emotional connection across the board?
Well, if there's no emotional connection across the board, is it actually a blended family, or are you just mush?
Maybe you need to think about, like, let go of the ideal and see what it is. Like, I think we have an idealistic view on what emotional connection looks like. And I think that we, in our ideal, we miss the blessing of what's actually happening. Does that make sense?
Yeah, what I see being a big problem in blended families, as far as this goes, emotional connection and just people connecting in general, is a lot of time there's just entitlement involved. You go into it, like you're saying, you go into this, you expect yourselves to look like a nuclear family. You expect everything to look like a biological family, that all the kids love you, all the kids respect you, whether you're mom or dad, you know, stepdad, stepmom, whatever. Everyone just expects, you know, and it's like we're looking at a whole nother business motto, if you will, and expecting ours to look like that, you know. So you're a Pizza Hut, but you're looking at McDonald's and expecting your product to be the same. It's like, no, at the end of the day, they're two totally different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I think about even how we do relationship with God, our creator. I don't know why that, like, that's what I thought of. And even God gives us free will, right? I mean, he could have created us to emotionally connect with him on demand, and to be submissive to him on demand, and to just serve him on demand, and
or make us all just exactly the same, like we said earlier.
Correct.
You know, but then again, if without that free will, we all just become robots. There's nothing. There's no growth,
and there's no genuine connection.
Right.
I think genuine connection comes from a choice. Right. You know, and so even God gave us free will so that when we are in relationship with him, when we choose to be in relationship with him, it's genuine because he desires genuine connection just like he created us. So it makes sense that we desire genuine connection. And I think that if God extends, here's a little radical idea. If God extends us free will to have relationship with him, maybe we should be extending our children and stepchildren free will to have relationship with us. Now, that doesn't mean they don't respect and obey. That's different, right? But as far as like genuine connection in relationship, can we extend that same free will to others in our family?
I think that's where you and I are different, because that's kind of how I live. I mean, I don't know if you've seen that, but I'm kind of like, if the kids want to like me today, great. If not, no big deal. I'm not going to really change my position of where I am or how I am. I'm not going to force our relationship or complain about a relationship. But if it doesn't work out, not a problem. Again, I'm just going to show up and just be consistent.
Yeah. You do live like that. Now that you put it like that, I can connect those dots. And I think what I want people to hear from that is it doesn't mean, like, force is different than, like, God left them. There's a song. It was actually the song I walked down the aisle to, Reckless Love. And there's a line in there that, you know, God left the 99 to come after me. And so God's love is reckless, meaning he doesn't ever give up. He chases. You know, it doesn't matter if we do not do that in return or it's reciprocated. He continues to come after us. He continues to love us. He continues to be there. And I think that's different than forcing.
Right.
You know, you have to keep yourself open. And I think we can learn a lot from that when we think about creating genuine connection, and also know that it takes time, right? We, just because we walk down the aisle, get married, say vows, and our kids are there, doesn't mean that magically in that moment, everyone is, you know, you got a month to figure it out and we're all going to be connected.
Well, it doesn't, like, mean as husband and wife, we're connected now either, you know, like, yeah, there's a binding contract, if you will, but doesn't necessarily mean that we are going to align and
be emotionally connected every day.
Perfectly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's something, again, something to work for. And what are you doing? Are you doing your part to be emotionally connected to your spouse? But are we expecting it, or are we actually working towards it?
Yeah. And it's different than commitment, because I don't want people to hear emotional connection and commitment are different.
No, they're night and day.
Thank God we have commitment, so that we, when we aren't emotionally connected, we don't quit. We don't give up. And I think that's really important to kind of notate here.
Yeah. People just slow down and think about the basics of this. Like, that's what it is. You signed up for commitment. You didn't necessarily sign up for a guaranteed emotional connection. Now, it's what we all want. That's what we all hope for. That's what we should all be working for. But again, are you actually buying lotto tickets?
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about how to cultivate and how to work for emotional connection.
I don't buy lotto tickets.
You don't play the lottery. But what if you had to give advice to your guy friend who is struggling to emotionally connect with his wife or his children, what would you tell him to do to actually do the thing and create it, or try to get it?
Well, I think a lot of it comes from living selflessly. I think that if you show up selflessly without an agenda, and when I say agenda, I don't mean like a whole agenda of what your marriage or your relationship looks like, but on a day-to-day, an agenda, if you're just not connecting with someone, you know, doing your best to show up, connect, listen, and just be involved in what they've got going. And I've talked about this before a long, long time ago, you know, showing up for your stepkids when it's not your activities that you're into or what it is that you like to do, but actually getting involved or paying attention to what they like to do and showing some genuine interest, you know, asking questions, trying to learn from them, and just taking some initiative to be curious about what they've got going on. I think that right there is a big part of just the basics of growing connection.
Yeah, what I love about what you're saying is feelings follow action. And so often we don't do something because we don't feel like it. But I've never regretted a workout. You know, I may not have felt like
that one you sprained your ankle. That was pretty bad.
That was really bad. But I think what you're saying is, even for you, like, this is a way for you to inspire somebody to feel emotionally connected with you by showing up for them, being curious about them,
right,
supporting them, showing genuine interest in what they're interested in. That might inspire them to feel like they want to emotionally connect with you and feel cared for. And for you, by acting on those things and doing those things, that also, because feelings follow action, that also, you're investing in someone and you're caring for someone in action, and that changes your own heart. And I think that's a really, really important point you made. Like, that's really, really, it's good.
Well, it it tears down walls, you know, it tears down boundaries between the two of you, you know, and you might not know that you're going to feel this way and they may not know they're going to feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, even if it, again, it's not your thing, it's not truly what you're into, but you're pouring into someone, you're going to find connection one way or another. It might be great. It might be terrible, but at the end of the day, there is going to be some sort of connection.
Yeah. Yeah. And you also said about curiosity again, which again is my number one relationship piece of advice, is just to stay curious. You know, I think curiosity opens up possibility for connection, opens up possibility for forgiveness, opens up possibility for redemption, opens up possibility for love. So I think curiosity is a really, really important piece of that. When I think about emotional connection, I think about how do we break it was with judgment, but also with poor communication. You know, communication is oxygen to all relationships, whether it's business, you know, marital, parent, child. And so I think really investing in getting curious about how you communicate, right? How do we communicate? Is it effective? How do you know when communication isn't effective? Well, you're having conflict, you're having arguments, no one's really understanding each other. We're just trying to get each other to agree with one another. If you don't agree with me, then you're wrong and I'm right. And now we're on different teams.
Well, and then tones. What's your tone? What's your tone?
Oh, you like to bring this up with me all the time.
Well, because it plays a big factor.
Tone.
You know, what's your tone when you are approaching someone? You know, are you mad? Are you angry? Are you happy? Are you sad? Tones make a big difference, because if you're happy but you come at someone with an angry tone, you know, again, try this on your dog. You know, you might be happy to see your dog, but if you come in the house yelling at your dog that you're happy but you use a mean voice to tell them how happy you are to see
them. I'm so happy to see you.
Yeah.
Nope. They're going to cower.
They're going to tuck their tail and run.
No, you're so right. Tone matters. What about body language in communication? Does that off-putting? Can that be off-putting?
Yeah, it can be.
And break connection?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's part of tone, really.
Yeah. So I think part of emotional connection there is touch.
Touch my body.
Hugs matter, you know?
Mouth hugs.
Okay.
Okay.
I can't. Will you stop? Okay. And he's not putting the camera on himself while he's doing what he... Oh, you did?
Yep. I made fish face.
That was not a fish face. But emotional connection, I think a lot of times requires physicality. And it doesn't have to be sexual, right? But I'm talking like a hug.
Oh, I'm out. Just kidding.
God. Okay. A hug, you know, handshake. Why do we shake hands? Why do we fist bump?
Fist bump, bro.
You know, remember with COVID, there was the elbow bump in COVID.
This is the stupid issue.
But you know what I mean? We desire physical connection in all the ways. You're just like looking
I'm stuck on elbow bump. I'm like, what else could we have bumped?
Hips, butts, uglies. I don't know.
Us as humankind, we are so dumb. You guys, we are so dumb.
This is an encouraging podcast. I hope everyone feels really encouraged and motivated.
Gosh.
Okay.
We are such a letdown.
No wonder we can't emotionally connect. We're just dumb. And now he's hitting his head on the mic. But I think that it's also important to recognize the physicality piece of emotional connection. You know, little girls crawl in their daddy's laps and like want to cuddle up to feel safe. Right? Like, that's an emotional connection moment. Like, don't laugh. Like, come on.
As they're crawling up, dad's like,
okay.
Elbow bump. You know? Like, what if we elbow bumped our
little
kids?
Stuck on the elbow bump
still. It's just so dumb. Like,
why?
People
were scared to touch hands.
We look like idiot chickens out there. Like, bark at a bark.
You want to elbow bump me? That's weird.
And then blow it up.
How do you blow up an elbow bump?
I don't know, but we'll figure it out because we're dumb.
Okay. But interesting, because in marriage, I think emotional connection is the road to intimacy for most women. I don't know if that's different than men, because men are wired differently.
What is it? Hang on, I'm taking notes. What was it?
Emotional connection. Like if women generally, this isn't all women and all men, generalizing to have like great intimacy, there has to be emotional connection. It's really hard. Then it's just a transaction for women if you're not feeling emotionally connected. So I think that that's a really important piece to feeling, to be able to fulfill a man's needs and a woman's needs is emotional connection actually is the bridge to intimacy, so everyone gets what they want. But that's an important piece. That's an important...
You only told me what the women want. What do the men want out of this?
Sex.
Nope. Oh, so the women are just there for the transaction.
No.
The money? Like, you know, you see what I'm saying, though?
Where what you're do men want? Oh, dude,
no,
tell
I'm
us.
Asking you.
I'm asking you.
No, you are...
I told you about women. You tell me about
Dr.
men.
Dr. Laura, please tell me.
No, I don't know what men want.
No, Dr. Laura actually would be mad at us right now because she hates blended families. Dr. Laura sucks at life.
I love Dr. Laura.
She hates us.
She doesn't know us.
She hates us. We're a blended family. She hates us.
She hates divorce.
Well, what if it's not your fault? And what if you are in a... What if you got a divorce because it's not your fault? Now she hates you because you got
she
a divorce.
Hate, oh, my gosh. You're she speaking does. For Dr. Laura now. This
you
is
tell
amazing.
Me this all the time, and I've heard her go off on some
she
people.
Goes
like,
off
you shouldn't have got, you shouldn't have gotten divorced. I'm like, bitch, I don't
she
have
does
a
believe,
choice.
She does believe that you should wait until your kids are 18 and out of the house before you remarry. Well, if you
good.
Get
and
divorced.
Now we're, and now we're old and crusty and smell
hey,
like cheese.
There is something called the Golden Bachelor. Have you heard of the Golden Bachelor?
No, but I'm about to find out about it.
The Golden Bachelor is the, you know, the Bachelor and Bachelorette franchise?
No, but okay.
Where a man or a woman dates like 20 people. Isn't and then at the end of it, they propose at the end.
Utah?
Okay. The Golden Bachelor, it's actually continuing. It's on air right now. But there's like a 72-year-old or a 71-year-old man looking for love because he's a widow.
We
His
are
wife
so
died.
Dumb, you guys.
And so he's dating like 14 to 16 older women. Oh,
I was hoping you weren't going to say year olds. I'm like, geez.
No, but then he's going to find, he might propose at the end of it and find the love of his life.
Yes,
on
I'm
a
sure
reality
that's
going to
work out
show.
Good. Does he elbow bump every one of them?
No, he actually Gosh. Kisses and makes out with everyone.
Right, this is
old people kissing on
done?
TV. We're going to, what? We're going to be old. Are we not allowed to kiss?
I'm going to kiss 14 to 16 people.
Show me your fishy face. Show me how you're going to kiss people.
Right. Are we done?
No.
Oh,
okay. Practice empathy. I think that's a really important piece of emotional connection. And this is something actually when I work with clients again, we talk about empathy because it's really easy to empathize that with that which you would agree with, right? How do you empathize with something you disagree with? And that's something I teach clients. If you're interested in knowing more about that, reach out, becomingheardnow@gmail.com, or you can go to my website and we can have a talk about that. It's a really, really important piece of creating emotional connection is empathizing with people. When you feel understood, you let your walls down, like you were saying. When you feel understood, like I think people forget that the point of communication, which we were just talking about before we went sideways on The Golden Bachelor, is that it's to connect.
Does R. Kelly host that show?
Oh my goodness. The point of the point of communication is not agreeance, it's connection. Unless you're in a courtroom, but do you want your relationships to be a courtroom?
A lot of people's are, especially when it comes to their friends and their family, you know?
And especially when it comes to different parenting styles in blended families. A lot of adults in blended families fight about different parenting styles and who's right and who's wrong. And we're trying to like win you over. And it's exhausting. No one leaves court and is stoked.
No, that's not true. But
the winner is maybe. But like, you know, the jury doesn't. And I think the jury is like the kids a lot of the time who have to listen to it all. Straining is exhausting. Nobody wants to be there. And so if your relationship feels like a courtroom, hit me up. I do work with couples, becomingheardnow@gmail.com. You can email me or you can go to my website and sign up for a free breakthrough session there. But that's a big part of how we break connection is poor communication and feeling like there has to be a winner or a loser, or you have to get on my team or you're, I'm going to punish you if you're not.
Well, parents play this with their children a lot too.
How
you
so?
Know, it's just, well, you know, it's trash talking the other house,
oh.
trash talking the other parent, you know, and kids get put in between all of this, you know, and at the end of the day, kids just want to be loved. They just want to be accepted.
Yeah. And kids just want to have fun.
So does Madonna, but here we are.
But I think that's another one of the last ways before we wrap up that we can help create connection and a road to emotional connection is by having fun. Like creating fun, lighthearted, shared experiences is a bridge to connection.
Right.
And I think that if you don't know where to start with fun. If you're a newly blended family or a blended family who feels like you've lost your luster and you're ready to give up, don't give up before you go have fun. Don't give up before you go have fun.
Those golden years are still in the horizon.
Oh my gosh. I think with connection, you have to be easy. And when I say that, I think there has to be an element of patience. Understanding that because you connect fast, other people might take more time. And so can you, and this helps with offense, right? Can you be easy with connection? Can you let it unfold naturally? Can you be easy and not give up and keep trying? Because one of the biggest reasons we give up is that we didn't get what we want when we wanted it. And so I'm out. And that's being very hard and very rigid. That isn't being fluid and easy. And I think a big part of cultivating emotional connection is just being easy in relationships with the other person. Like giving them space to grow their connection to you in a pace that feels safe for them, regardless if you're quick to connect or not. You know, and I think patience and that is really, really important. And also motivates people to feel safe with you. And when people feel safe with you, they want to connect. Who doesn't want to feel safe?
Well, a lot of times, too, people grow and they connect at different speeds. You know, the emotions are different. You know, you and I connect at different speeds. I connect differently than you connect differently. You know, yeah, we're still connecting, but at different speeds, at different times, on different areas.
It makes me think of internet connection. One's a DSL, one's like a telephone. Remember like AOL?
You're talking like 56K dial-up?
Yeah, dial-up versus DSL, right?
I was talking to someone about that the other day. I was talking to Mason about that the other day, and he goes, no, I never dealt with that. I don't even know what that is. Like, really?
Our kids aren't ever going to know what it's like to have a corded phone and have to like go find a place that isn't too far away because you have a cord. Attached to a phone, attached to a wall.
My mom had the world's longest cord, and it wrapped around everything. And then once it was done being wrapped around everything, it was all stretched out, and the cord never went back normal, and it was just like this big old hanging thing of, like, cord everywhere.
Did you talk on the phone a lot as a kid? Like, was that, like, a thing?
I wouldn't say a lot. I had, like, you know, my friends that I talked to in, like, the evening sometimes, you know, or... I don't know.
Did you have to go find a place that was secure, though?
No, I had a phone in my room at one point. I was pretty stoked on that. I would say 6th, 7th grade is when I got, like, my first phone in my room, and that was kind of cool.
But a shared phone line, so, like, if mom picked up in the kitchen, she could hear your conversation.
I had a little rich friend, if you will, and she had her own phone line. She had her own phone number, and you could call to her room.
Yeah,
you know?
I had that.
Why am I not surprised right now? Elbow bumps for you, bro.
A different phone line. I don't think it was
No, it was a special thing.
It was
like, yeah.
But I was also an only child, so.
You still are.
Okay.
I mean, you were. You say it like it was past tense. You completely still are.
Yeah, that's true. All right, two more ways to cultivate emotional connection. One is you can't receive what you don't give. So if you're not willing to be vulnerable, like that's the word that comes to mind, right? If you want emotional connection, you feel emotionally connected to someone when they're sharing their story with you or when they're sharing their desires with you, when they're sharing themselves with you, you feel connected to them. So are you being vulnerable with your spouse? Are you being vulnerable with your stepchildren and your children? Are you being honest with where you're at and what you want? Because I think if you want people to feel connected to you, vulnerability is a really big piece of that. And we know that because we feel connected to people when we're hearing them. Think about memoirs, you know, or biographies. When you're reading someone's story, you feel there's like a weird connection there. Like you know a piece of them that they don't share to people outside of that book. So I think that vulnerability is a really important piece to emotional connection. Is it hard to be vulnerable for you?
I think it just depends. It depends on what the subject is, what the topic is, and what we're doing.
So you pick and choose?
No, I think I don't personally pick and choose it. It's just, it is what it is, you know? It's an emotion that day.
It's an emotion that day. Okay.
Let's go back real quick.
Okay.
Why being an only child?
Oh, my gosh.
No, I'm serious. Why? Well, this is one of those things that I think we can all understand in blended families. Why being an only child do you need your own phone line? Like, why is that the entitlement for the only phone line? I'm like, wait, I had two other sisters plus a mom and a dad. I probably should have had my own phone line so I didn't have to share with everyone because now we're all stretched so thin. You're not stretched thin and you get your own damn phone line. Like, how?
My mom was also an only child. Where's that entitlement? It was just given to me. I don't think I demanded it.
Have you met yourself?
Do I demand things?
You would have for sure at that age.
I don't think so. I wasn't like that. I wasn't a demanding kid.
You didn't need to be. You were an only child.
Yeah, like things were just freely done and given to me. I know the logic doesn't make sense. Like,
yeah, it's like the elbow bump, you know? It's like,
I don't know, ask your parents why they didn't.
I know. I'm kind of like, you guys, like we've got this all screwed up. We being not only children should get more advantages because...
competition.
It is now.
Know. You can. I'm you just. Know
it doesn't make logical sense to me. Now.
Thanksgiving's coming up.
I'm gonna ask. I'm gonna panel poll all of our parents.
Thanksgiving dinner. You should probably just bring up the phone line situation and just see.
Yeah.
You know. I'll be how like, that plays out.
Yeah, I'd be like, why didn't we get our own individual phone line so we didn't have to share?
Probably
them?
Because my parents didn't want to share the phone line with me. Yeah. You know what I mean? They wanted their own phone line, like my knowing
kind of why
parents.
She has her own toilet these days too. So
like, doesn't want to share it.
It's interesting though. I'm not trying to pick a fight. It's just silly logic, right?
No, but my mom was an only child, so
again,
she never had to
matter?
Share. Because
why does that matter?
It matters because the idea of sharing is not a concept that only children really learn.
Oh, you just. Made a point that you and I argued about a long time ago.
No,
you're
I
like, no, that's not
this.
How we are. That's not how.
Sharing doesn't come easily. Sharing, being an only child, I've talked about this on this podcast. Like being an only child is really hard when you have to do relationships because you don't have to consider anyone else. There's no other kid to challenge for
you don't
attention.
Have a, you don't have a day-to-day
example. I don't have to
example.
Share with anyone. Yeah. I don't know how to, like, I never was taught conflict resolution that there was or how to do it. Certainly it wasn't ever modeled for me because there was never
the only time
resolution.
You ever got into that situation was with like a parent or something or a friend, but not like a day-to-day. Like I'm like, I had to deal with conflict resolution all the time with my sisters.
And I'm sure siblings deal with conflict all the time. I didn't have to deal with peer conflict. So I don't have patience for it. I don't want it. It was not part of my norm. And so it's not anything that it feels normal to me where I think when you grow up in a big family, you know, you learn how that it is normal to have conflict. You learn the benefits of conflict. You learn that we love each other in spite of conflict. These are lessons that only children, including myself, never really learned because the opportunity, I couldn't control it. I didn't have siblings.
So this is good because exactly what you're talking about right now is exactly what this whole entire podcast is about. It's like, you wonder why I do something a certain way and why I act a certain way or react a certain way. And I wonder the same thing about you, but this is exactly why. It's because we're all brought up differently. We all have free will. We're all brought up differently in different circumstances and different types of family. And I handle things different than the way you handle things as the way our kids are handling things different than we, you know, because our kids are growing up much differently than we grew up, you know? Like, yeah, you weren't in a completely, a complete nuclear family, you know, semi-blended, but you were blended with no other children, right?
Well, until I went to my dad's house, and then my half-brother would be there.
Right, okay.
And then I had, and he was always, and he would tell you this still, and this is, like, nothing new, but he's, like, the golden child of life.
Yeah, because he was at, yep, he was, but he was by your dad, with your dad all the time, you know, whereas, like, me, my parents are still together to this day. I still have two sisters, two younger sisters.
Yeah.
You know, we grew up much different than you grew up. Totally. Much different than your kids. Your kids are growing up different than my kids are growing up. You know, because, yes, they're both in a blended family at our house, but they're also in a blended family at the other house.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So we are all in such a weird, different situation that when it comes down to actually solving problems and connecting, we are all at such different places in our lives.
Yep. It's 100% true. And I think giving grace and understanding and knowing that is also a key to being able to emotionally connect. Because, we're not judging that you're right and I'm wrong. There's no connection there.
Yeah, exactly.
But when we're trying to understand each other's point of view, and here's the deal. I actually just recorded a little video about this, and I think this will help our audience in this subject matter, is I think we need to, instead of focusing on deficits, like what you're missing and what I'm missing, or what I don't have, a skill I don't have that you have, let's say, and what we're not getting out of the marriage, or what we're not getting out of our blended family, and the deficits of it all. Why aren't we leveraging what we do have? Why aren't we celebrating and showing appreciation and actually harnessing our giftings and our talents? The best parts of how I was raised. There's definitely parts of how I was raised that aren't ideal and have made actually relationships really hard for me. It's not been an easy road for a lot of reasons, but part of that is the only child thing. And it's not all bad. I learned a lot. I learned independence. You know, I learned a lot of things, but why aren't we leveraging and celebrating and utilizing and harnessing the gifts and talents from where we come from and bringing that to the table and working with what we've got? You would do that in business.
Well, and also, but again, everyone's situations are so different, you know, and we get mad or we get in an argument or we're not connecting. And it's always like, well, I'm right and you're wrong. Well, how about this? Like, I'm right and you're right.
Correct.
Like, and that's what a lot of us don't have the grace or the capacity for, where it's like, wait, we can both be right and not disagree and both be right and be at a different place.
Right. And then how do we use both of our rightness
to grow
and to create something even better? Right. And so the last thing I want to say about cultivating emotional connection is really tapping into gratitude and appreciation. I feel emotionally connected to someone when I'm appreciating them and I'm recognizing, like, I feel much more connected to you when I can to sit there and name 10 things right now that I am so grateful for you. My heart softens and I feel, it doesn't matter if I'm mad at you or you hurt my feelings. Like, if I can stop and for me, come up with 10 things that I'm grateful for that you do.
Always.
I feel emotionally connected. And I think when you openly do that in relationships, when you openly appreciate somebody and you openly, not like a disingenuine therapy thing, you know, like, wow, like yesterday you were there to sell drums for Annabelle.
Dun, 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 dun.
She sold her drum set.
I sold her drum set. Well, you sold her drum set, and then
I sold her drum set.
Yeah,
together.
What did she do? She just collected the money.
She cleaned them. She brought them down. Mm. She set them up. She cleaned them. It was a team effort. But my point is, it's like, I really appreciate that you handled that transaction in my absence. Like, I'm very grateful for that.
Well, you're welcome. But did you get a thank you for it?
From Annabelle?
Mm-hmm. Next subject.
She's 13. No, she is very, very thankful. So she's actually, you don't know this, but after school today, she's going to go next door to the guitar shop and start looking at basses to see a price range. So she knows if she's got enough or she needs more. She doesn't know. I don't know how much basses cost either, but she sold her drum set to play the bass.
I would, and here's just conversations that we have in our household, you guys. I would encourage her not to get into just an entry level bass. Like, if this is something she really wants to get into, Don't have her go buy a piece of garbage, you know, or something that's just mediocre.
But she's got to afford it.
So it's something to work for, you know. My kid has to afford a car that he really, really wants, you know. And I told him, no, I'm not going to finance that for you. And he got really mad at me. Now he's working and figuring out a way that he's going to buy his car.
No, but that's good.
If we don't just go buy it for her, you know, you're not
No, I'm not buying it for her.
Well, right. Yeah. No, but what I'm saying is then there's a sense of ownership. There's a sense of pride. And they understand it takes work to receive reward.
And then she'll be emotionally connected to her base.
Hey, something. It's a
take
win.
Take really good care of it. But you take care of what you invest in.
I do.
You know, and I think that's like the point of this podcast, right? Emotional connection requires investment. And then you care for what you invest in. It gives skin in the game.
But again, too many people just expect it. So again, if she, and I'm not saying she did. I know actually she wants to buy her own base. Mm-hmm. But if she just got her base handed to her, she wouldn't be that appreciative of it. There's no sense of pride and ownership. You know, if I would have just gone and bought my son that car that he really, really wants, you know, it wouldn't have meant as much to him. You know, now that he's going to work for it, there's that sense of ownership, that sense of pride. He knows what it takes to get there. He's going to treat it a little better.
Yeah, 100%. All right. Well, as we enter in this holiday season, especially Thanksgiving, I hope this episode helps you guys think about how you do the holidays maybe a little bit differently, how you show up around your family a little bit differently to help you guys feel that emotional connection and motivate other people to feel that with you. I would love to know your thoughts. I would love to know if I can be helpful. Please reach out again to me. I'm a certified life and health coach, and my heart is the blended family community. So I'm committed to helping adults in the blended family find peace in the chaos and to try to figure out how they can show up and be the best they can be so they can have what they want in their blended family. So if you want to talk to me, I'm offering free breakthrough sessions. Please reach out, becomingheardnow@gmail.com, or you can go to my website, becomingheard.com, and you can sign up for a free breakthrough session there.
And if you guys just want to connect on social media, maybe some elbow bumps, hit me up there. I'll be there, elbow bumping every single one of you. Thank you for tuning into us, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey, it's Julie again. I hope this episode of Blended Life started a conversation that you will finish in your home. But I get it, right? Sometimes you need more. My offer still stands. If I can interest you in a free one-on-one breakthrough session with me to see if coaching is right for you, contact me now at becomingheardnow@gmail.com and let's get you unstuck. becomingheardnow@gmail.com. I look forward to it.